Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back to another episode of the DFL Swimming Podcast. We're mixing it up this week with a little different take on our usual episodes. We are bringing back a old friend of the podcast today, Mr. Max McHugh, current assistant swimming coach at the University of Notre Dame. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast, Max. And before we get into things today, I'm going to send it over to Dez here. Just do Max a justice of the accolades that he has and what he brings to the podcast today.
So as many of you know, Casey and I swam for the University of Minnesota, as did Max. And at the University of Minnesota, Max had a pretty successful career. Four-time NCAA champion, nine-time All-American, seven-time Big Ten champion, one of five breaststrokers to ever be under 50 seconds. Unanimous 2021 Big Ten Swimmer of the Year, first to ever receive a unanimous decision for that award, as well as 2019 Freshman of the Year. Really excited to have you on the pod here, Max.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I swam breaststroke after Casey, the biggest accolade.
And Dez,
yeah, both of you, yeah, that's true.
That might come up later in the podcast.
Yeah, we might have to have a little clear clear the air on that topic later on.
Okay.
Let's talk. We actually had a little recent run-in with the old alma mater here for you, Max. actually, Notre Dame versus Minnesota down in Florida last week. Tampa was there too. What was it like running back into the Golden Gophers on some neutral ground?
It was good. It was good. Familiar faces. It was good to see the coaching staff. And I overlapped with the now seniors, and so good to see some of those faces. It was good.
Yeah, it's awesome. Definitely, it's probably kind of crazy. Like, you swam with some of those guys, and now you're coaching kind of against them. Kind of funny to flip the script there. How'd that meet end up going?
It was good.
We don't have to talk about that part.
Just our men's side, our women swim at Miami, but yeah, that was good.
Awesome.
Me during our training trip, so kind of as expected. We're middle of the training, consistent training, just looking at details, not necessarily looking for times, but that was good.
We'll get into training trip a little bit more down the line here. We're going to go back into your career at Minnesota and before Minnesota. Just to kind of start it out, do you have a favorite race throughout your collegiate or childhood career?
I think the 200. I think the 200 breaststroke. I think it hurt the most. I mean, out of the events I swam, the three of them. But I like the strategy of it. I like the strategy of the 200. I think the 100 is more so just sprint, give it all you got, make sure you're holding water. But I just think it was always fun, October and November, swimming the two breast. If you're in shape, other people aren't in shape. I thought that was the most fun. It was a good time.
You think that's changed for you, Max, since kind of being out of the sport now for a few years? Like, your perspective on, you know, remembering what racing was like and what your kind of mentality was going into races has changed a little bit now, or is it, would you say, kind of stayed true to the same kind of experience that you had while you were still, kind of in it, let's say?
Yeah, I think through coaching, you gain empathy. I think you gain perspective. I mean, there's so many details that go into every single race outside of swimming. And so I think you gain that empathy. You see more of the bigger picture. You recognize what goes into a race, what goes into a certain meet. I think when you're swimming, you don't necessarily see that. I think just keep it in mind. I mean, it's a whole season plan. You know, each meet has its own purpose. Each event has its own purpose. So, yeah, I think that's one of the bigger things I've noticed as a coach.
Absolutely.
Compared to an athlete. I think at times, as an athlete, you just hop in the water, sometimes there's not even a purpose to the race, you feel like. But yeah, as a coach, I think you gain that perspective.
With that perspective, are you able to kind of, and with all your races that you've done throughout your past, does that help you coaching in any way? Is there some advice that you give to your swimmers that you've been able to take from that perspective from your past races and experiences?
Yeah, for sure. Using my experience, I think can be helpful, but I think it's also a matter of being intentional too. My career is so much different than another student athlete's career. I mean, there are different factors to everyone. And so I guess word of the day would be perspective. It's recognizing that everyone's career is different. Everyone has their different needs and wants out of swimming. So yeah, at times it's extremely useful and extremely helpful. Other times not at all. I mean, it could be something totally different. So.
Awesome. Moving on from that, talking about Casey and I got to swim a lot of big meets with you, Big Tens, NCAAs, dual meets. But you also got to swim a lot of other big meets throughout your career, Olympic trials, world trials, and whatnot. Do you have a favorite meet that you swam at throughout your career?
I think YMCA Nationals. I think the whole event is kind of just like one big celebration. I think you start out with a parade, you end with a parade. At the end of every race, everyone's congratulating everyone else. I think giving the flower to each other on the podium, it was just really well done. It was always a fun time heading down to. I mean, I went to the GAC for 3 years, and that was a lot of fun. But I think my fifth year NCAAs too. I mean, can't argue that. I mean, we had 9 guys there. It was a blast. We got to stay in a hotel off campus and swim in our own pool, use our own locker room. Hard to argue that.
Yeah, that's awesome. I actually got to go down and coach YMCA Nationals last year. It was my first chance at seeing that meet from any perspective. And you're right, that's just an absolute spectacle, a lot of fun. And I can definitely attest that the kids just have an absolute blast when they're there.
Yeah, I think it really brings like swimming at its purest state almost in those situations. And it definitely changes as you progress in the sport. But I'll touch on that fifth year NCAA that you mentioned at Minnesota when we hosted. I mean, I think that was a special meet and a way to, finish off your career with a special touch, I think I think you couldn't draw it up too much better than that, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a little weird using a locker room. I don't know how you guys felt, but like using your own locker room, walking out to warm ups, getting back in there and changing, I thought it was a little weird, but yeah. It's fun nonetheless, but
yeah, I mean, like it definitely changes
practice almost.
It gives a level of comfort too, I think, that you wouldn't necessarily normally get though. Which for better or worse, I mean, I think when you have one less thing to worry about at a meet of that caliber, I think the better, but I think you're exactly right. Everyone else is cramming into the guest locker room. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you got 4 lockers on either side of you.
I think there's only 2 stalls in there, too. Yeah, it's a rough time.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine. The bathrooms at Minnesota, the guest bathrooms, are not the nicest thing ever. Being in the crowd that year, too, and being able to see you win your last championship at your home pool, the energy in there, just the emotions, it was really awesome. I just can tell from a test from the team and everyone else, that was a really cool atmosphere.
Yeah, it was cool. And I think that's part of my fifth year. I think that really helped me decide sticking at Minnesota. I mean, it's cool. It's cool to finish it off. My brother finished off at Minnesota. So yeah, I mean, what are the chances? It's cool. He got to finish his career at the home pool. I got to as well. Cool.
Did you ever have any second thoughts about your fifth year? Like, was there ever a time where you were like, I don't know if I necessarily want to do this? Or was it always like, yes, I want to take my fifth year and kind of finish this thing out at home?
Yeah, I think there's always that. I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't generalize it. But I think there's a hesitancy. I think sometimes it's difficult to be a fifth year and still have that camaraderie, that connection with the team. Simply because of age. I think that's 23 years old. The freshman class is 18. I think just objectively, there's 5 years there. You're thinking about a job, you're thinking about a career, you're thinking about what you want to do after swimming. and the freshmen are coming in, kind of spring chickens, just, I mean, happy to be there, happy as can be. And so I think there's that, for me, there's that hesitance. But I think just through conversation, I think being transparent, being honest with myself, what I wanted out of it too, I think that was extremely helpful. I think being at Minnesota didn't hurt. I think that helped out quite a bit. And just having that connection with the team too, I never felt that, you know, there's that hesitance, but I never felt like it was a true fear of not being connected with the team, mm-hmm. even, you know, living alone too. So, you know, it's a testament to Minnesota. It's a testament to the, you know, environment and the team that we built. But yeah, I think everyone's a unique situation, like I referenced before.
For sure.
I mean, Casey and I, mentioning too, as I mean, three classes in a row. I mean, all three of us took our fifth years in Minnesota, which was, I mean, mm-hmm. A product of the circumstance with COVID, and the extra year eligibility and everything like
that.
Forgot
I'm 2 years older.
Sorry. But yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. And it's interesting to even reflect on, I mean, I don't know if you're thinking the same, Des, but I mean, the factors that we consider, myself considered, when deciding to stay at Minnesota, both, I mean, personal and team, I think, it was a special opportunity, to get to do that. And, especially capitalize on it the way that you were able to is pretty cool.
For sure. Going on to the next thing here. Oh, go ahead, Casey.
No, yeah, no, I can move us into the next. I think kind of ties right into a little bit of the discussion that we had. But I mean, as we rattled off a little bit of the accolades and stuff, and, you know, talking about that NCAA championship and the 100 breast during your fifth year, the three other NCAA championships that you had. Is there something that you see now? And this might be something, like, question that's tough to answer, you know, from a person, I mean, you're a humble guy, Max, but do you feel, looking now, like, what do you think was a separating factor for you that, you know, leading up to a big race, you know, were you able to bring yourself to just a different place that you felt like maybe other people weren't able to? Were you, you know, what do you think was inside of you that, you know, brought you to that next level?
That's a good question. I think consistency, I think that's one. I think that's a big piece of it. I think, you know, when I look at my career, September, October, you put in, you know, how many yards of work to build that base, you know, moving through the season, you build in anaerobic. But just from a, you know, more of a holistic view, I think being consistent in that first part, and then really putting my head down, you know, December beyond, I think that's something I was great at. I think putting my head down, focusing my attention when need be, when I really needed to, I think that was something I was great at. You know, beyond that, I think just having a support crew. I think Casey, Dez, I mean, I think about training partners. I think about my freshman year training with my brother. You know, it could be totally different strokes. It didn't necessarily have to be breaststroke, but, you know, having an environment where, you know, I felt like I did a great job doing my best that day. And that didn't necessarily have to be 100%. That didn't have to be 105%. I didn't have to hit my times, but giving my full effort that day and still feeling extremely supported and still feeling like the team had my back, that's something that, you know, I never had questions about that. I never had questions that, you know, if I came in and only swam 500 yards, I wasn't being questioned for it. It was just what I could give that day. And so, you know, that didn't happen very often where I only swam 500 yards. But, yeah, I think just a support crew, and then I think consistency. I think just giving your best every day. And, you know, it's kind of cliche, but.
No, I think, and I was, I mean, I was about to jump in while you were still, you know, thinking about that question a little bit too. And even what came to mind for me was, I think, exactly what you mentioned there is, I think back to all the different, you know, dual meets, mid seasons that we swam together. And, mm-hmm. you know, when we were suited, I don't think I saw you over 51, let alone like going 50 point and 100 breast too frequently. And I think that spoke to come Big Tens and C's. I think you already, you know, are at a level where, you know, minimum, like you can really, you don't feel like you're going to have to just produce this absolutely like out of body performance to, you know, get the win or, you know, that sort of thing. I think, you know, you were consistent as they came, you know, in your preparation, race plan, that sort of thing.
When you build up consistency,
just, that's a standard.
You build up consistency throughout the season, you know, you put in the hay in the barn. By the time you get to those big meets, I'm sure like mentally and physically, you probably feel pretty confident going into it. Right. And I'm sure like there's doubts and there's other things going through your mind, but is that kind of when you were approaching those big meets, is that kind of what you were thinking about? Like, wow, like my consistency throughout the year with my training, with my racing has been awesome. And like, I feel great going into that meet.
Yeah. Like I think just being intentional, I think, you know, setting those standards and what I wanted to get out of every swim. I mean, we had a clear plan, and Kelly and I had a clear plan, and, you know, you guys and Mike had a clear plan. I think, I mean, more granular, I knew what stroke count I wanted every single length of every single race. And so, and if I was off, I knew why. And when I came up to Kelly afterwards, I could tell him what I did well, what I didn't do well, what I want to work on, what that looks like in practice. So yeah, I think just being one, intentional, I think having those standards and then holding myself accountable, I think all those help create a base that you can be confident in when you head to championship season, when you need to elevate and want to hit those times.
Yeah, I mean, you really are the king of consistency kind of throughout, you know, our 4 years together at Minnesota. Going back, you mentioned you like to compete in practice, whether that be breaststroke, whether that be a different stroke. But I will say there were plenty of times where, you know, we might be in the gutter a little bit and Max is swimming breaststroke against us backstrokers and he may or may not be beating us, you know.
I'm chirping, yeah. And you're hearing about it.
You're going to get rid of all of our credibility. You're going to ruin us.
Yeah, that was good. They're good times. I remember the 175s. I remember that to this day still.
My freshman year.
Yes. Yep.
I'll say that would have had to have been our worst day of training of all time and your best ever. So that's the only time that could have happened.
Just about.
I first remember Kelly was like stopping the set and he was like, Max is going like worse right now. Why is he beating our backstrokers? And we're all just looking at each other like, crap.
And I'm just sitting there. I'm sitting there happy as can be. It was great. It was a great time. Yeah, I think I was 142. I don't think I was 144. I was moving. No, I'm joking. I don't know.
You were moving. But I do remember that.
Yeah. Well, okay, beyond, obviously, myself and Dez, who else out there who you swam against, you know, in your career? I mean, whether it's someone that gave you trouble or someone that you know, felt a little bit of extra heat when you knew you were swimming against them, or just someone that, you know, you love swimming against. Is there someone that stands out in that respect as when you think about your career?
Yeah, I think Reese Whitley right away. I think, I mean, he and I go back to 15 years old, and I just knew this name from Pennsylvania that kept on going, 51.8 as a 15-year-old or something insane. And so, you know, Michael Andrew, Reese Whitley, I mean, those are guys I looked up to. I mean, they're my age, but I looked up to them every single day, and I, you know, kept track of their results and strive to be what they were. And so, I mean, I think I got the best of Reese one time in high school, and it was for the NAG record, and then he beat it the next day. And so I just think talking about being consistent, those guys were pretty much as consistent as can be. And so, you know, carrying on to college, Reese and I mean, for 5 years, we swam against each other and saw each other at midseason, saw each other at NCAAs, and that's it. But we had a great relationship, and it was always fun. It was always fun to see him. I always think to, like, Minnesota Invite, he would take a nap in the morning and go, like, 158. and then go 151 at night. And then he'd be chirping all the time. It was just fun. So it was a good time. And he and I have a great relationship. And I mean, I owe a lot of my career to the standard that Reese set. I mean, I think to COVID, he swam a 148.2 against Stanford and during COVID year. And I mean, I think we had 2 weeks of training in at that point in Minnesota. And I'm sitting in bed wide awake at 4 a.m. thinking, what am I doing? Like, what are we doing here? So
giving you nightmares.
He was. But no, I think of Reese, I think of Michael Andrew, I think of Nick Fink, long course. You know, breaststroker-wise, those guys really set the standard. Leon, you know, most recently too.
Yep.
I probably not the same feeling. It's not mutual because he beat me every single time. But he was so great about it, though. I just think, too, like, I almost would rather Leon, like, chirp or talk trash afterwards. He's such a nice guy about everything. And so that was a great relationship, too. But
that's an issue we have in swimming. We have an issue.
it is an issue. Yeah. Not talking enough. But no, he that's close, I think, 2022 at Georgia Tech.
Yep.
He ran me down that last 50.
And that first 175. 150, yeah. 175, though, you were cooking.
I was bigger. I had to catch up at some point. So that was the closest I ever got. And you could just tell. You could tell he was going to elevate to something special. And I mean, he was just getting started. That was his freshman year. So.
Yeah, that was his freshman year. And I remember watching that.
We all know what happened from there, yeah. So.
Yeah, and you could just tell, like, he was just starting to figure out kind of the whole short course swimming thing. And I don't know if I ever would have guessed what he would have done in the short and long pool, but he has just obviously been absolutely insane. You've competed against a lot of really, really amazing swimmers throughout your career. It's really cool to hear about that. Going to kind of transition here into your coaching career. You are at your first year at Notre Dame. Previously, you were at Colorado College and St. Thomas, but right now you're at Notre Dame, your first year head coach, Michael Norman. How has that been so far? How do you evaluate your guys' year so far in swimming, and how's it going there?
It's been great. Yeah, I joined late September. It's been great. He's a first-year head coach, first-year college head coach. So getting to learn alongside him has been awesome. The rest of the staff members, I mean, I think Trevor, Joao, we have Jess, we have Julie. I mean, they're all great. And so I think one thing that we do extremely well is just collaboration. I think we collaborate, but we're all humble. We have our ideas, but if they're not used, we're not upset about it. But yeah, it's just that. It's been everything I could ask for. And so, what was the other part of that? I'm sorry.
How would you guys kind of just evaluate how the year's going? I mean, not necessarily performance wise, but just, you know, how you see the year coming together so far. And all the different stuff that you guys have, you know, been up to so far, whether it's training trip, fall training, fall camp, mid-season, dual meets.
Yeah, I mean, I joined late September. We had a few dual meets there. Got to swim against Michigan and Wisconsin. Got to see Northwestern. Had mid-season at Miami, Ohio. That went really well. And then just finished up that training trip in Naples, Florida. We're down there for just about 2 weeks. And finished that off, swam against Tampa and Minnesota, finished that off against Kentucky this last Saturday, or last Friday. But it's been good. We kind of getting to that point where the hardest part of the season is behind us, really just refining strokes right now, thinking about details, thinking about what we want to do to elevate ICCs, NCAAs, and beyond. So it's been great.
You mentioned train
Take
trip.
Your time. Everyone's happy. Yeah.
You mentioned train trip in Naples, Florida. How long were you guys there for? Anything fun you got to see, you got to do? And were there any interesting or hard sets that were given out during that you can kind of talk about?
Yeah, we were there December 28th to the 10th. Yeah, so a good chunk of time down there. got to see the sun compared to South Bend, Indiana. A nice mix up. Yeah, training wise, nothing too crazy. I think it's more so just the consistency of the training schedule. I think that's where, you know, I look back at Minnesota and it's 3 weeks in Hawaii or first couple of years of just consistent training, and you don't have to worry about external factors. You don't have to worry about school. You can tell student athletes are a little bit more focused, a little bit more present and everything. No, it's great. It's just a great chunk of training. I think 2150s max effort. I think that was probably the hardest set that we had done. All the sets that distance do are tough. So they tell you that, but no, I think nothing super unique, nothing super, super special wise, but a really good chunk of training, you know, a double, double, single pattern. And then getting two meets in, just seeing more competition, seeing those details in races.
And you kind of touched on it, but Casey and I also talked about in our last podcast of like how awesome it was to go and swim somewhere warm when you're coming from a place like Minnesota, like
swimming outdoors, seeing the
South
sun.
Bend. Yeah, like you're not swimming indoors. You get to see sun. It's like the feeling of being outside and swimming is very refreshing, and I'm sure it just absolutely elevates the training.
Yeah, and I think even, I mean, put swimming to the side, you get to be with your teammates for 2 or 3 weeks. You get to know them better. I think, you know, it's hard when you're a freshman and you know, freshman to senior, that kind of relationship. You know, when you have school, you have your own schedule. It's tough. It's tough to build those relationships and even, you know, getting to know each other better. I think that's a piece of it that sometimes goes unnoticed.
Absolutely. I mean, certainly we were fortunate enough to, you know, be on a number of training trips together. And I mean, especially.
You ever go to Hawaii?
It was awesome. Sore subject, Matt. No, I'm just kidding. But I think, especially when you're going through, I mean, the hardest training block of the season, you come back to campus to start school again. And instead of being like even more bogged down, I think you come back and you're almost like refreshed and ready to start again. And I think that's a piece that's maybe missed sometimes, but was, I mean, a game changer. Having experienced kind of both sides of it too, I mean, not going on training trip the first couple of years and then being able to the following years, it was, I mean, certainly a highlight. So
yeah, and I think guys like, had a good time. Like season playing too. I mean, you take those 2 weeks off, 2 or 3 weeks off, not off, but you take that in a new environment, get a good chunk of training in. They're coming back, it just fits pretty naturally in that season plan too. I think it's a, like you said, a good refresher, but also, you know, kind of bridges that gap. I think when I think that Minnesota, when we didn't go on that trip, it was tough. It's tough. I mean, you're walking to the pool in what, close to 0 degrees and 10 degree weather compared to, and you see these stories, you see Swim Slam, you see Wisconsin go to Puerto Rico. You see, yeah, it's tough. And that's, you know, we're fortunate enough to go down there for 2 weeks. And, you know, in Hawaii, it was a good time. I think it was too long. I think I stand by that.
Hawaii was way.
We left the December 31st, got back the 24th. And I think that's way too much. I think a 10-day trip is perfect. 21 days, you know, I love Dez, but I'm sure I got him in nerves after 21 days. Like, and I know other people got on my nerves. I know it was a lot. And so
I was,
like my brother went 1 year, man, I was, yeah, at each other's throats for 2 weeks. Is bad.
I remember I was lucky enough to room with you my freshman year, my one and only year in Hawaii. Got to room with Max, and that was definitely a lot of fun. But kind of going back to, like, you know, you're able to go somewhere warm and add new stimulus. Like, a lot of times in your training schedule, when you get on break, we mentioned you don't have those 20-hour NCAA limits anymore, and you might be doing a little bit more practices. You might be doing, you know, two swims every day and a lift, right? A lot of times in season, you're getting 1 to 2 swims a day, and then you're getting a swim and a lift the next day. So you're able to add a lot more stimulus to yourself, and you're being able to rest more. You're able to sleep more, right? Like it's an awesome thing. But I definitely thankful got to go to Hawaii. Casey Stowe can't really say that.
Yeah, that sucks.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys.
It was a great time. I mean, I
preferred Florida, actually.
It's probably my favorite moment of my life is going to Hawaii. So.
It's up there.
Yeah, you didn't miss much, but it was just my favorite time ever. No, it was
anyway, great. Moving on.
I stand. That's a hill I'll die on. I think it's too long. I do.
And I mean, that's the thing. We'd spend like 18 days in Hawaii, and then we'd spend like 4 days in California. It was crazy.
You're expected to swim against USC. Like USC was, like the expectations were still sky high, and it was not.
So it's
usually pretty well against USC, but that's a tough training, tough schedule.
Yeah, those were my best dual meets of my career at USC, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure why. I mean, I'm not sure how. Even as a coach now, I'm not really. There's no rhyme or reason. I should have been fast at that meet, but
that was
fun.
My best meet my freshman year as well. We went in there and we took down the Trojans, and we were not supposed to win that meet. I remember that very vividly. We won. Yeah, we were not supposed to win, but yeah, that was an awesome meet.
See, I think maybe a fair question too is, you know, as you guys kind of come off training trip here, working towards ACCs, you're obviously dealing with, you know, the women's team, men's team. Are you guys still kind of just trying to keep a consistent flow of what the week looks like? Are you guys, are you actively changing things up or just trying to, you know, keep people consistent, moving in the right direction towards ACCs, which is what, a month out basically for the women and a month and a week
together
for the men?
Together.
My apologies. Yeah.
Better apologize. Yeah. I think like,
all right.
I mean, I can delve in like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, well, morning swim. It'll be shorter. Night times all practices, and then we throw in a lift. You know, we switch genders. And so, just keeping that consistent schedule. I think we'll try to incorporate some rehearsal swims. You know, I think to like NC State and, you know, Coach Holloway, what he's done, you know, trying to mimic the events on the specific day. I think that's something that's pretty unique. Might look into that, but yeah, just being consistent. I think right now it's just not necessarily not bringing the intensity down, bringing the yardage down, and then just giving it a little bit more rest. I think, like I said, just rehearsing what we want to do in those races, and then it's a lot more coaching. So I think just this next month, a ton of coaching, a ton of one-on-ones, a ton of refinement on specifics. Beyond that, just keep on keeping on. I mean, they're looking great. We're coming off two great meets. We have some momentum there. And then we have our Tim Welsh invite.
Okay.
In 2 weeks. And so we'll swim some off events there. We'll see. We'll suit up, swim, you know, primary event, maybe an off event. So yeah, looking good.
Is that your last meet then before ACCs happen?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
We'll do a last chance, I think, Ohio State. Maybe the week before, just for those not traveling to ACCs, similar to what Terry Gann, the invite that we had done.
Yeah. Awesome. Another question kind of going about ACCs. This is your first Power Four, like championship meet that is combined genders. I think it's an extra day as well. Like, are you prepared? Like I think energy, probably having both genders there is probably going to be a lot higher. Are you excited? Are you prepared?
He's shaking in his boots.
I'm shaking, yeah. No, I'm excited for, like you said, like the energy. I think, you know, I'm used to a Big Ten meet, just being single gender. There's energy there, but not as much. And I think that probably came from, one, being only one gender, two, being eight teams. And so now we're looking at ACCs, both genders. You're taking, it's a long meet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it should be a lot of fun. I'm excited. I think it's the most depth in the country, pretty close to it. I mean, especially on the woman's side, you look at Stanford, you look at Cal, you look at Virginia, you look at NC State. You have, what, four of the top six teams? They're decent. Yeah, and so, yeah, I think just maintaining that energy throughout the meet, I think, you know, it's something that Kelly had always said is, you know, be energetic, be present, be mindful, but also pace yourself. It's a mm-hmm. it's a six-day meet, and I think, like, Ohio State at Columbus or Big Ten's at Columbus at Ohio State, and it was terrible. Like, I did such a bad job managing that meet, one, because it was a new schedule. I think it was 6 days. That sucked. 8 days in Ohio State. And then just the flow of it. I mean, just managing your energy too. So, yeah, I'm extremely excited. I'm excited to see people surprise themselves. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, conference meets are always the best. Taking Kelly's words of pacing yourself, as a coach, I feel like I've been able to use the words pacing yourself a lot more. Because I will say, Caleb Dressel mentioned this as well in his podcast with Mel, that coaching a meet is tough. It almost hurts my body more coaching than swimming. Standing on your legs for 12 plus hours
back.
A day, yeah, and walking around, and, you know, your bucket filling, you're lifting kids up, helping them with feedback. Yeah. How are you preparing yourself, Max McHugh, as a coach, to be ready for this long ACC meet?
He's never trained harder before.
I haven't thought about it yet. I might have to get back in the water. I'm not sure. I think club coaches, I mean, I look to my dad. He has it much, much worse than I do. And I think to you too, I've never done a 12-hour day. I probably never will do a 12-hour day. So, like, maybe my days are 6 hours on deck. But
that's still tough,
yeah,
a lot of moving around.
I give you credit. Yeah, I'm not coaching 12 and unders for 12 hours. Yeah. I mean, I'm prepping, and I've gone through it with like Colorado College and St. Thomas, and, you know, I've trained in the middle of it at St. Thomas, and so I'll be fine. Hopefully, I'll start praying. lower back is always the first to go. It's bad. I'm feeling old.
Those bleachers they have on the pool deck are always, you know, they're great for the back. Lots of support for the lumbar there.
My gosh. It's the worst, dude.
And it'll be fun to, you know, hear about it on the back end of things this season, you know, how it, you know, it wraps up. But I mean, as you've kind of gone from program to program, I think something we really wanted to hear, and this is another tough question for sure, is just, you know, what is one thing, you know, like that you've kind of seen at each stop that you've had, and maybe at one spot more than the other, that's really stood out to you and helped you, you know, learn as a coach, how you approach, you know, the season, whether it's mentoring athletes, you name it. Just give us your insight.
Yeah. How do I?
Because I think, yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely, I can, oh yeah, go ahead if you're ready.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think it's any of us, we've, you know, been coached by, I mean, there's all kinds of different personalities out there, you know, mentorship styles, that sort of thing. And I think when you are different places learning, I mean, coaching on staffs with different types of coaches, you start to learn, and you maybe kind of, you know, massage your own style of and learn more about how to approach different types of athletes, you know, whether they're doing different lineups, you know, how they best are motivated, that thing. I mean, I think there is so many intricacies of the coaching world, and Dez can even hop in here too in his own perspective. He's age group, you're in the college level. It's just, you know, there's so many factors to consider about, you know, how do you, especially this time of the year when you're thinking about, you know, moving towards a peak performance meet, how are you best bringing your best each and every day to best set up your athletes for success? Dez, you're first now.
I can, go ahead.
If you're ready, Max, go ahead. I mean, I was just going to say, you know, for me, it's developing a swimmer and keeping them excited and enjoying the sport, right? Like there's a balance that I've learned with club coaching that, you know, you're here to make your swimmer the best they can be. You're here to challenge your swimmers in and out of the water and help them grow as an athlete, as a person. But you're also there to help them enjoy the sport and have fun. I think, you know, burnout is a big thing right now. And for me, that's been a really valuable lesson.
Yeah, I think I'll answer it in two parts. I think compared to a student athlete as a coach, I think so much more holistically. Mm-hmm. And I know that's going to sound cliche, but I mean, when I think about the student athletes, you know, it's not just about splits or technique. You know, it is right now, especially this last month, but it's so much more than that. It's academics, it's lifestyle, it's recovery, it's sleep, it's nutrition, it's life stress. I think coaching becomes so much more than just those splits. And that's something I didn't understand as a swimmer. I think, not to pat myself on the back or give Des and I more credit, but it's so much more than just taking splits and technique and the 4 hours of the day that you see the student athletes. So I think that's one part. And I think more specifically, I think Notre Dame, what I've learned, you know, you learn it within the first week, is the standard here is just different. I mean, everything is different, and it's everything to them. You know, academics, you think training, you think culture, you think accountability. The standard is just different here. And that's not to say at Colorado College it wasn't, or St. Thomas it wasn't, but it's a difference. And it's just that, just objectively, the standard is higher. And I think it's the standard that they hold themselves to. And so that's something that I've noticed right away as well. And so, you know, balancing that, like I said, with the life stress, with academics, with athletics, it's a lot. And so coaching is so much more than just those splits and that, those, you know, technique pieces. That's one part of it. But I mean, you can have the greatest technique in the world, but if you can't manage your class load and your academic mm-hmm. schedule, then it doesn't matter. You're going to be ineligible. And so, yeah, it's a lot more than just taking a split on the watch. And so,
definitely.
And like I said, that's not to give us more credit, but it's just, that's what I've seen.
No, but you're right. Right. And, you know, it's your job as a coach to help manage those athletes and keep them on track, to be as prepared as they can be in the pool, out of the pool, in the classroom. And that's hard. And it's a testament to you, testament to me, it's testament to all the coaches out there. It's mm-hmm. it's a hard job. It's an awesome job. Especially, like, you know, you get to care about those athletes and you want what's best for them. And I'm sure, like, you know, you want your kids to graduate. Swimming's not going to last forever for, you know, 99% of them. So how do you prepare them the best to excel in the classroom and get a degree and, you know, mm-hmm. be the best that they can be in the next part of their life?
Yeah. Yeah, that's part of that, you know, Notre Dame athlete too, is just being intentional. I mean, you get a degree from Notre Dame, but you're also a swimmer. So, I mean, there's standards, and there's ways to set those standards without being too demanding. But yeah, I mean, they're a different type of student athlete, and they want to know why, and they want to know intentionality, and, you know, it's just stuff that you learn from day one.
That's a total, like, it seems like a Notre Dame philosophy as well. When you look at all the other sports, they're successful in everything. Obviously, Coach Norman is doing a really great job of carrying that through with your guys' team. But you look at the Notre Dame department, and like you said, like, they are at the top of all athletics. They're at the top of academics, and that's where they thrive. And it's an awesome culture to have and to build.
Yeah, I think, one-two punch you talk about. Best in the country. Yeah. Without going into detail. Yeah. Academics, well, athletics.
You know, it's been a great catching up with you today, Max. It's like just like old times.
All right. Yeah.
You know, it's we'll see. Maybe we'll have to, you know, bring you back around here after we wrap
if I'm not busy. Yeah. I'm not.
The most important question of the entire episode, point blank. You got to swim a 50 breast off one of us, me or Dez, right now in 5 minutes. Dez likely will DQ the relay, but kicking past 15.
I feel like it's a logical answer. That's crazy.
How many? Who are you taking?
You only do that once? You only DQ once?
Once at Big Tens.
At Big Tens?
But it got me caught. I didn't actually DQ. Oh, okay. I didn't actually DQ. Doesn't count.
It's fine. It's fine. We had, remember when Lucas did it twice in one session?
No.
Columbus? Yeah. DQ two relays? No, I'm sorry. It was three sessions in a row we did.
I do remember that. I don't think it was Lucas,
but
it was. That was Purdue. That was, it was the reaction time.
It was me, Lucas.
Kaiser and me.
Kaiser.
Or Kaiser. I think, too. Three of us DQ'd a relay.
I was the only one who didn't DQ a relay that weekend. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I didn't either,
but that was the weekend I DQ'd my individual.
And then
it got recalled.
We moved past that Purdue pool. We moved past.
Yeah, we got taken down. That's crazy. Wish we would have worked the take off a little bit more.
The little details are always important.
It is, yes. And we got burnt on them every single year. It's all right. It's so tough that two med and that eight free. Like, you DQ that two med, man, your meat, like, just shake it off. No, your hair goes out of the. It's tough.
Yeah, that's a lot of points there, man.
Cool.
Hey, you remember, it must have been your freshman year, Big Tens? I think we took eighth, seventh. We just barely took second to last. And man, we were just, that whole meet was tough. That was a tough one.
I think he's avoiding the question, Casey.
Yeah, I think he knows.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about it completely. I'll take Minnetonka Casey, but I'll take Golden Gopher Dez. How about that?
It's just because Max wishes that he was a Minnetonka, Minnesota resident.
I do. I feel like I'd be from Minnetonka if I grew up there.
So. All right. Talk a boy, talk a team. Good way to answer the question.
Yeah. Who's the faster split between
Casey?
Come on,
Casey does
from high school or just, what?
Oh come on! I just wish I could have produced that. My fastest split while Big Max McHugh was still around.
Yeah, it was a couple years too late. I remember watching last year and I went, that's crazy. Without me, that's sick.
It was just too little too late.
Thanks for that. Yeah, cool.
Sorry about that one, Max.
That's all right.
Yeah, all right. I wasn't on the two medley very often. The one time I was, I think you might have outsplit me. So at Big Tens, bring that one up.
At Ohio State,
sophomore year.
Yeah, it was bad. I felt bad. Everyone posted an article about it.
I was getting bullied, dude.
Do I say anything to Dez? Like, what do I do here? This is terrible. Why wouldn't we make an article about this?
I was in a mental gutter after that.
Yeah. People didn't talk about.
Obviously. Like, how would you not be? It's terrible.
People didn't talk about how hard it was to be a backstroker at Minnesota during the Max McHugh era.
I was throwing down fastest splits ever every other midseason, Big Ten, NCAA, and then it was terrible. Yeah,
if we were on our A game, we were risking getting outsplit.
I was 22 low. I don't know how many more times than anyone else. I think.
Just because
it's not the fastest, and it's not. I think the fastest ever is 22, but man, I was 22.4. I don't know how many times.
So many times.
With my stupid little, not even a step over, I just did a little
baby step
right into it. Yeah, you would explode off those blocks, man.
That's a big man coming off those blocks.
Mass moves mass. Yeah, that's the thing.
Well, it was a pleasure to have you on here.
Yeah, we could
reminisce about the old college days all day, but we'll let you go here, Max. But it was, like Dez said, it was a pleasure having you. Really looking forward to see seeing how the season winds up for you guys, ACCs, NCAAs. It'll be exciting to watch. And yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to hop on here with us. And
good luck.
Talk again soon.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Go Irish.
All right.
Go, a little bit.
Throw the Go Ghosts in there too. All right. Well, as always, appreciate everyone tuning into this episode. Love to hear your thoughts on the episode, anything else we've talked about. And we'll catch you in the next one.